ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Okay, we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th Canto, Chapter 24, Text Number 62. Yasmin Sat Karna Piyushe Yashas Tirtha Vare Sakrit Shrotran Jalir Upas Prishya Dunute Karma Vasanam. Somebody could chant. Matijis. Word for word, Yasmin, in the history of the transcendental activities of Krishna, upon the surface of the earth, Sat Karna Piyushe, who please the demands of the transcendental purified ears. Yasha Tirtha Vare, keeping oneself in the best of holy places. By hearing the transcendental activities of the Lord. Sakrit, once only, immediately, Srotra Anjali. In the form of hearing the transcendental message. Upasprishya. Touching. Exactly like the water of the Ganges. Dunute. Destroys. Karma vasanam. The strong desire for fruitive activities. Translation. Simply by receiving the glories of the Lord through purified transcendental ears, the devotees of the Lord are immediately freed from strong material desires and entanglement in fruitive activities. Engagement in fruitive activities. Purport. When the devotees, Arya, receive the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as enacted in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, they immediately achieve a transcendental vision in which they are no longer interested in materialistic activities. Thus they achieve freedom from the material world. For sense gratification, practically everyone is engaged in materialistic activities which prolong the process of janma, mrityu, jara, vyadi, birth, death, old age, and disease. But the devotee, simply by hearing the message of Bhagavad Gita and further relishing the narrations of Srimad Bhagavatam, becomes so pure that he no longer takes interest in materialistic activities. At the moment, devotees in the Western countries are being attracted by Krishna consciousness and becoming uninterested in materialistic activities, and therefore people are trying to oppose this movement. But they cannot possibly check this movement or slow the activities of the devotees in Europe and America by their artificial impositions. Hear the words Srotram Jalir Upasprishya indicate that simply by hearing the transcendental activities of the Lord, the devotees become so pure that they are immediately immune to the contamination of materialistic activities. Anya bilasita sunyam. Materialistic activities are unnecessary for the soul, and therefore the devotees are free from such activities. The devotees are situated in liberation, brahma bhuyaya kalpate, and therefore they cannot be called back to their material homes and materialistic activities. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Bastaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharne Nirvasesa Sunyavadi Paskachate Shatarne. So, by nature, we are eternal, full of knowledge, and full of bliss. But because of material desires, we wanted a material enjoyment, and therefore we fell down into this material world. So this the situation in the material world that we're in is we have a material infection. So this material infection causes these different problems, as mentioned here, birth, death, disease, and old age. So these are enacted upon us by the internal time factor. The internal time factor, which is, represents Krishna, brings about these four miserable conditions of material existence. And this way, the living entities are suffering very greatly. And not only that, they fight among themselves. There's the threefold, three miserable conditions, threefold miseries of pains upon our body and our mind from other living entities and from material nature. So in this way, there's so many problems in this material world. And some people question that if Krishna is all good and everything comes from him, then why is there so much suffering? Why is there so much evil? But the reason is that Krishna, for our satisfaction, he wanted to give us the ability to do whatever we wanted to. And therefore, because of that, we could either use it in a proper way or an improper way. And because we, unfortunately, use it in an improper way, we are suffering here, and this evil that's in the world, that is coming from us. That is not coming from Krishna. It is coming from us. So under these three modes of material nature, we are in a very, very fearful situation. Everybody's in a very, very fearful state because of these four miserable conditions in material life. Nobody is satisfied. Everybody's in a state of fear and anxiety because of these four major problems, which cannot be solved by any amount of scientific advancement or by worshiping any type of demigods. It is not possible to get out of these four miserable conditions. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Abrahma Bhuvana Loka, Puna Ajatama Minta, Puna, anyway, from the highest plane, the material world, down to the lowest, all are places of misery where repeated birth and death take place. But one who returns my abode never takes birth again. So these four miserable conditions, no matter where we go, or whatever demigod we worship, or whatever, how much scientific advancement we make, they may give us some kind of so-called temporary comfort, but they're not able to solve these real problems of life. That is not possible. So this birth, death, disease, and old age comes from material attachment. By material attachment, we have to suffer these things. So attachment is there. But if we transfer our attachment to Krishna, then automatically we become free from material attachment, and thus we don't have to suffer in this material world. So there's different types of living entities. There's the Karmis and the Gyanis. And the Karmi, both of these individuals or classes of men, they also have to suffer birth, death, disease, and old age. The Karmis, they engage in fruitive activities or pious activities so they could enjoy sense gratification, so they could go to heavenly planets and enjoy a material life. So naturally, there is also a suffering for them. They have to suffer these four chief miseries. And even for the Gyanis, they also have to suffer. They're trying to understand Krishna through mental speculation, but this is not possible. By the process of not this, not this, you could achieve impersonal Brahman realization, but if you don't take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, then you will automatically fall down into this material world. So one has to go further. Prabhupada mentions this and he quotes that verse from the seventh chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. After many births and deaths, he who's an actually knowledge surrenders unto me, knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that is. Such a great soul is very rare. So these Gyanis, after so many births and deaths, if they're actually intelligent, they'll surrender unto Krishna. Otherwise, they have to keep taking birth again and again in this material world. So we have to avoid these things. We have to avoid fruitive desires. We have to avoid mental speculation. This devotional service, pure devotional service, is free from these these activities. Even Prabhupada mentioned in a few times in his room conversations and lectures that also this mental speculation is also gambling. This is gambling. So we also promise this when we get initiated, no gambling. So this is also referred to as mental speculation. So we have to avoid these things. So another cause that's mentioned in the scriptures or in Srila Prabhupada's books about the cause of this repetition of birth and death, this birth, death, disease, and old age, is by people engaging in sex indulgence. By this, they have to take repeated birth and death in this material world. Actually, Srila Prabhupada mentions this, that it is only by sex indulgence that one has to take birth again in this material world. So we have to avoid this. Of course, we take these vows at the time of initiation, no illicit sex, like that. So this sex life is very much bounding, and actually the best recommendation, if possible, one should stay a brahmachari and not get married like that. But also Prabhupada states in the connection with Gajendra the elephant and the crocodile, they were fighting in the water, and the crocodile was in his natural habitat, whereas the elephant wasn't. And so the elephant was losing the battle. So Srila Prabhupada mentions in that connection that in our fight against Maya, one has to situate himself in a situation which one will have physical strength, enthusiasm, and sensual power. And this way, one can fight against Maya. So what may be good for one person may not be good for another. So in this way, there are four divisions of ashrams and types of work. There's a brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, sudra, brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, and sannyas. So one should understand what best situation one should situate himself in this way, be in that position, in this way make rapid advancement in spiritual life. So we have to understand our position. Just like different classes of men, just like I said, that generally it's recommended, if possible, for one to stay a brahmachari. That's the best situation. But Srila Prabhupada mentions also that for women, the best thing is to get married. In this way, they have it's more easier for them to make advancement in spiritual life. So according to one's position, one should act accordingly. So this birth, death, disease, and old age, we should see it. We should be very pessimistic about this situation. Without this being pessimistic, there's no impetus to make advancement in spiritual life. So devotees should see like that. Srila Prabhupada mentions this in the Bhagavad Gita, I believe it's in the 13th chapter, have a pessimistic view of this birth, death, disease, and old age. So what is this suffering? So the suffering, birth, the child in the womb is suffering. For the first 7 months, it's in like a sleeping or an unconscious situation. But after 7 months, it wakes up, and it's in a very uncomfortable position, and it's suffering, and it's stated that he's been bitten by worms, and he's moved. That's why he's moving in the womb. Sometimes the child moves. So he's suffering like anything, and he's praying, please get me out of here and stop my suffering. And if I come out, then I'll surrender to Krishna. I'll surrender like that. And during that time, it says the pious soul remembers 100 of his previous births. So so much suffering. And sometimes the child, he comes out, and he comes out almost dead or dead. Sometimes the mother dies, so it's a very suffering condition in life. And, of course, there's disease, so many sufferings and disease, and old age, and then there's death. So death is, everybody wants to avoid death, but this is not possible. As Prabhupada quotes that saying, as sure as death. Death is sure. But everybody's acting as they will never die. They will never die. Prabhupada said this is the eighth wonder of the world. They think like that. So they are thinking that my father died, my grandfather died, so many of my friends have died, but I will not die. So we are thinking that, you know, we'll live forever, I'll get the right type of medicine, and we'll work out, I'll overcome this, science will come along and invent something so I can live forever. But nobody lives forever. Everybody has to die. When it's your time to die, you have to leave. No matter what we do, we may take so much medicine and make so many arrangements. Just like Prabhupada in June of 76, he wrote one letter, mentioned, he was talking about for a heart transplant. He actually brought the heart transplant. He said, if one is destined to live 4 more years, whether he has a heart transplant or not, he will live only 4 more years. So he said, medicine will not do anything. These transplants won't do anything. But the medicine may relieve some of the discomfort or symptoms like that. But ultimately, when it's your time to die, you have to die. You know. But a devotee, we should go on with our service to Krishna and not care whether we live or die, just serve Krishna and not be affected by the suffering, just like Pallad Maharaj and Haridas Thakur. Just go on and become Krishna conscious, preach Krishna consciousness. And if Krishna wants, he could extend our life. It's up to him, but we should not be concerned. Because the main thing is to become Krishna conscious. If you're not Krishna conscious, what does it matter if you live a long life? Otherwise, what's the difference? Just like the trees. Some trees live for like thousands of years. Like up north, Northern California, there's sequoia trees that they've been there for so many thousands of years. And Prabhupada mentions in the Bhagavatam how there's a tree in Vrindavan. It's been there since the time of Lord Krishna. Of course, those trees are transcendental. But the idea is it's simply not living a long life is not the criterion, but to actually advance in spiritual life, to become purified, that is the proper understanding. So we have to become very serious in Krishna consciousness, like Maharaj Parikshit. We are reading the Srimad Bhagavatam, and he became very serious about advancing in Krishna consciousness. He got the notice of he had only 7 more days to live. So he knew when he was going to die, but we don't know if we even have 7 more minutes. So we have to be especially vigilant to always think of Krishna. So so pure happiness, which is the nature of the soul, is not possible in this material world. Everything is contaminated. And if you want to achieve so-called happiness, just like if you're not born with a silver spoon in your mouth, then to achieve a lot of money and sense gratification, you have to work so hard. So in this way, it's actually not possible to become happy. And with these 4 principles of birth, death, disease, and old age, how is it possible to become happy? It's not possible. Because these are our major problems, not eating, sleeping, mating, defending. So these different comforts in this material world, there's kama, artha, dharma, and moksha. So kama is sense gratification, and there's dharma or religious activities for promotion to the heavenly planets, and then there's artha or economic development. For one who is serious, he will set these things aside and for liberation. This is what's important, liberation. And real liberation means to take shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna. Otherwise, one isn't actually liberated. He may think himself liberated, just like some of the gyanis, they think themselves liberated. They're simply thinking like that. They think that they themselves are Bhagavan, but actually they aren't Bhagavan. They are defective, and they will fall back down into the material world. So this material world is compared to a prison house. This prison house is created by Lord Brahma under the direction of Krishna, and it is destroyed by Lord Shiva. But the prison house is maintained by Lord Vishnu. So by surrendering to Vishnu or Krishna, by pleasing him, then we'll be able to get out of this prison house of material existence. So you have to please the person who's in charge, actually in charge of maintaining the prison house. One can't go to the person that built it. They build so many prison houses. They get so many workers to build it. They get so many people to destroy it. You can't bribe them with anything. But if you go to the person that's actually maintaining the prison house, just like in the material world, the government's maintaining the prison house. So if you show them that you're actually, you change your ways, then you could get released from the prison house. So we have to approach Lord Vishnu, Lord Krishna. In this way, we attain liberation. So we have to take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. This is the only way to get out of this material world. If we don't accept Krishna, then we have to accept Maya. This is like the difference between light and shadow. If you're in the light, you're with Krishna. But if you step outside Krishna, you're in the darkness. You're in Maya. So we have to stay with Krishna. So by hearing this, it's mentioned in this verse about hearing the receiving the transcendental messages. So by hearing these transcendental messages, we push away the external energy, and we attain Krishna. So this is a process. It cleanses our heart of all material contamination like that. So this is a very simple process. Some people ask, how long does it take to become Krishna conscious? And it takes only a second. If we accept Krishna's words, then immediately we become liberated. Immediately. And what does Krishna say about in his messages? He says in the Bhagavad Gita that if you do simply four things, then you're guaranteed to go back to home, back to Godhead. This is mentioned in the 18th chapter, 1865 of the Bhagavad Gita. Always remember me, worship me, become my devotee, and offer your homage unto me. So we remember Krishna by chanting the holy name of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So that's how we remember Krishna. And if one who is chanting the holy name automatically, only a devotee will actually chant Krishna's name. So one's a devotee. And then worship Krishna. So we have this temple so everybody could come and worship Krishna and offer obeisances to Krishna. So just by these four things, one is goes back to home, back to Godhead. So this process is very simple. Very simple. So we have to concentrate on hearing these messages. Prabhupada was very strong on this point. Like so many times in his lectures, he was giving these lectures and he would stop and say different things like, "This child is disturbing," or what are you doing? And you should focus your attention. So we have to do like that. We shouldn't do anything else except to sit and hear Srimad Bhagavatam. In this way, we'll properly receive the messages. So we have to focus like that. And this way, we'll become purified. Okay. So I could stop there. Are there any questions on these points? Back there, I guess. Well, yes, sir.
Thank you so much. If Lord Brahma only creates and Lord Vishnu maintains, the question would be, what is he doing now? What does Lord Brahma do during the 100 years of his life? The other question, related one, would be why there is a partial devastation when Lord Brahma sleeps?
Yeah, well, he's the... There's... What is Lord Brahma doing while he engages in Krishna consciousness? Every day he comes and sees Lord Krishna, just like he came down to see Lord Krishna on the planet. Of course, he stole the cowherd boys and the cows, and Krishna chastised him. But then he offered nice prayers to Krishna, he composes nice prayers to Krishna, just like we read the Brahma Samhita. So in this way, he engages in various transcendental activities, and we also understand. Know that he's the head of our Sampradaya. So in this way, he's preaching Krishna consciousness. So, and as far as the devastation, there's so many different devastations, partial devastations, and there's a devastation after Kali Yuga, and there's so many devastations. But as far as how that works exactly, I'm not sure. I'm not sure how that works. Okay. Yes.
Thank you for the nice class, Prabhu. I had a couple questions, but I'll start with one. My question is, we recite the verse before Srimad Bhagavatam, Nasta Prayas Babhadrasu, that's saying that just by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam every day and by rendering service to the pure devotee, everything auspicious to the heart is almost completely destroyed. Inauspicious, yes. So I was wondering, why is it almost completely destroyed? Why not completely destroyed?
It's almost completely destroyed?
That's what the translation says. It's almost completely destroyed. Why is it almost and not completely?
I can't say. Would anybody else like to comment on that?
Krishna, I don't know if I'm qualified to answer, but there are professional Bhagavatam reciters who do the Bhagavat Sapta. Prabhupada was saying in the one lecture I was listening to that that's not the only time we should listen to Bhagavatam for the 7 days and then go back and do nonsense all year. And so maybe, you know, almost all completely destroyed is if you listen to Bhagavatam but don't follow what's in it, or you break the regulative principles simultaneously, then that's a very precarious situation.
Anyway, it has to be anything we get in devotion, anything we accept in devotional service has to be complete. In other words, if you hear Srimad Bhagavatam, you have to do it in a pure state, just like chanting. If you chant Hare Krishna, you'll become liberated. But if you commit offenses while you're chanting, then it will take a very, very long time. So we have to accept all the instructions for any type of devotional service. So that's the main thing.
I just wanted to ask a question before. I want to thank you for a wonderful class. This verse was stressing the importance of hearing. Mm-hmm. And listening to your wonderful lecture, I see that you've done a tremendous amount of hearing of the scriptures, because there's voluminous references in what you're saying to Srila Prabhupada's words, lectures, and his books. Could you give some practical advice for somebody who's aspiring to become like that, who would like to, how to implement hearing into the life as regularly as possible, so that I can absorb and understand, and when I speak, I speak in the same manner that I just quote what is taken from Srila Prabhupada's words, lectures, and books?
Yeah, I just have to constantly read and chant, read all the books, read the lectures, everything that Prabhupada wrote, read, and also by speaking or reading to devotees, one remembers more. We just practice. It's Prabhupada mentions, I think it was a letter written to Giriwash, that practice makes perfect. So you just have to practice more and more like that. And by doing that continuously, then one becomes more and more expert. So and one has to just think that I'm simply a fool, and I shouldn't think that I know something better than my spiritual master. And if you try to, as much as possible, you try to do that, then you should speak properly like that.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Okay, any other questions at this point? Okay, yes.
Just one thing I like about his question. I heard a class in Philadelphia on the Madhurya Kundalini. He's talking about how the very last stage, even after Krishna Prema, it's like, there's still some dormant vestiges of of impurities that aren't completely purified until one actually has direct darshan of the Lord. So I think that's probably what it's indicating.
Well, the definition of Krishna Prema is there's bhava and there's prema, and then at that point you have no more material desires. That's it. That's the highest level. As far as darshan, we get the darshan of Krishna and the deity form, and that's, Prabhupada mentions, that's non-different from Krishna, So anyway, I just, that's the main thing. But anyway, prema is the highest like that. I would have to see that, Sometimes it's important to quote where one gets some information, just like in I heard, it was brought up before that about Sita being, that it was a circle drawn around Sita when Ram left to get the deer, and then she was kidnapped because she went across the circle. And I asked, where is that from? And because in Krishna consciousness, we have there's so many scriptures and different things, but for as Vaishnavas in our Sampradaya, we accept the Ramayana by Valmiki as the authority, like that. So we found out that this quote was from Tulsidas instead, that he crossed over a line that Ravana or Sita crossed over. So we can't. It has to come in the simple succession. The scriptures have to come in our simple succession. And so it's important that we quote from where we get our information, and. And sometimes the scriptures, who translated it? Sometimes some people may translate a bona fide scripture, but then they in their commentary they write there's an edition of the Mahabharata that I saw, and it said that in the footnotes the translator said that although other commentaries like Madhvacharya have said differently, For this word, I accept the opinion of Sankaracharya. So, in other words, who accepting? Who is the translator? Who is the, you know, what book is it coming from? So we have to be very careful in that regard. And the best thing is to be focused on Srila Prabhupada's books, you know, and in this way, then we'll be able to check those things. Just like another, in one conversation I was reading about Prabhupada, he was criticizing this one, I think it was a fun famous temple in India, maybe it was in Tirupati or Sri Rangame, and they have this big kunda or something like that, and they said that formerly Vishnu and Lakshmi got married there, and to pay for this kunda, people had to give dakshin, and they're still giving dakshin for it. But I was, you know, anyway, somebody said that during class, but I was reading in a conversation, probably said, what is this nonsense that Lord Vishnu has a debt that he has to pay, you know, so we have to be very careful, you know, that does it come from scripture, not that, oh, it's something that I heard from my grandmother or something like that, but where does it come from? So, as it stated in the last purport of the second canon of Srimad Bhagavatam, whenever speaks in learned circles, one should quote from where he gets his information, like that. Okay. Anything else? Okay, one more question.
You mentioned how, you know, Prabhupada said that, you know, we have karma, so when we're going to die, that's when we die. But also you mentioned in this purport that in the first chapter of the 10th canto that it is natural for a person facing untimely death to try his best to save himself. This is one's duty. So how do we...
Yeah, so one has to carry out his duty, not that, like, Vasudeva was trying to save Devaki.
Yeah, that's what he's talking about.
So it says, well, you know, it's our karma, so, you know. But it's our karma, or it's our duty to try to protect our dependents. So we can't just say, well, whatever happens, happens. My children aren't taken care of. They're going to get sick. So if they're going to get sick, I don't, you know, why should I go to a doctor? They're going to die. They're going to die. No, but you have to do your best as a responsible parent, a responsible husband. You have to take care. And you should try your best, because there are five factors of action, and one of those is the endeavor. But ultimately, it's left up to the super soul. So one has to try one's best, but leave the result up to Krishna. Okay? So we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Ogloy, Shishi, Guru, and Gauranga.